copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
My name is Andrew Bajeński, and I am Polish through. I was born, raised, educated, everything in Poland. I had some education also outside of a country, but mostly everything. So I am a very local boy. And I would like to start this our session with telling you a little bit of kind of background. And I'll just say that we all love to hear stories. So let me tell you a story, a little bit about my country. You know, this was 1,050 years ago. Some of you were not even born yet. When Poland was baptized, and we became the Christian nation. Polish prince married a Czech lady, and we had the first king of Poland baptized. So since this time, Poland is a strong Roman Catholic country. And our eastern border of Poland is not only a border between Poland, Belarus, Ukraine, but it is a border between two cultures, Western and Eastern, like Eastern Orthodox Church presents. Of course, on the border there are kind of mixture there, but this is generally where we are. About 36 million of Polish people. It's kind of hard to keep the right number because at least 1 million of them is in the UK. Second spoken language in London area is Polish right now. So we have some success in the Western world. But about 36 million people, numbers, 90% are Catholics. And when I say Catholics or Roman Catholics, means this is a culture. Some people may believe deeply, some may not have any convictions, but definitely it's a Catholic culture. So this is how we are brought up. This is how we live here. And even for those who don't believe, still the Catholic culture is something which is a predominant Polish. We have even saying, to be Polish means to be Catholic. Sometimes when people find out that I'm a pastor of a church, they say, oh, are you German? You know, my last name is Bajeński, S-K-I. It's real Polish. So I say, no. Sometimes people would say something like, oh, yeah, yeah. So you're a pastor like on these American movies. Not exactly the same pastor like on some of these funny American movies. But evangelicals in Poland, number is 0.02%. So we're talking maybe between 60 and 80,000 evangelicals, all the whole country of Poland, a small minority. But there is also, when it comes to the spiritual realm, there is also growing number of, I use the evangelical Catholic or renewal Catholic groups, which nobody knows how many of them there are, but there are more and more, and they are something kind of new on the horizon of the Polish society. I would go from country to city. I was born and raised in Warsaw, which is a capital city, which is like any other big city in the Western civilization, especially the last 20 years, develops very fast. But the interesting thing is that if sometimes 60 to 70% Polish people are kind of present on the Sunday morning in the church, in Warsaw it would be no more than 20%. So it just tells you that the big city has its own rights. people are not necessary church supporters as much, and they don't care also whether you are Catholic or who. So there in Warsaw, I would add to this a little bit of going through my the third kind of picture, which is a picture of a church. And I'm one of those who were born into the evangelical family. I am a third generation in the evangelical family, and also most of my family, from my grandfather beginning, are they were in the ministry. They are in the ministry. So this is my kind of a little bit unique in Poland background. Three generations in not in a Catholic kind of family. Although my mother, when she met my father, she was a devout Catholic, and my grandfather really, when he learned that she wants to become some kind of, as they say usually in Poland, evangelical, they say as a Baptist. So he just grabbed the, I don't know, the tool, how you call this, and he tried to kill her, I mean, his own daughter, just because of this. Later on, everything was different, and she was the best daughter. But this is the, I'm sharing this because this is a story of many homes, many Polish houses. And you know, the gospel which was given to me at the house, I was brought up with my grandparents. My father died when on his 28th birthday, really. I was very sick and passed away. And so I was brought up with my grandparents. And the gospel was the Bible, was the book which was read in our home. So very early in my life, I mean, I knew everything to become a Christian. I was 12 years old when I had my experience of receiving Christ. And I still remember a small river in the south, in the east of Poland, where I was baptized. My grandfather, he said, "I am not baptizing you. We don't baptize children." This was how our church believed. But older preacher did, and he baptized me. And I still remember this 200 or 300 people from all the villages gathered, and they were kind of mocking and looking what those Baptists are doing. But I had this feel, I stand on the right side. I stand with Christ. As much as I could understand as a 12 years old. I was 16 when I met a beautiful girl. She just came for a few minutes to my school. And today she's my wife, so make it story. But I was for, in Polish language, we say, who is a girl or boy you walk with, you know, date, you walk with. So we were walking for a year. I was 17, and there was this deep conviction, what do I do with my new life which God has given to me? And I knew I would be working in the gospel. I didn't know, pastor, evangelist, teacher. So the first thing I did, I told my girlfriend, I said, you know what, I am evangelical Christian, I never should walk with you. So this is our last moment. Here is a New Testament. Read this. And this was it. But a few months later, she became a Christian too. So we started to walking again together. And 4 years later, we married. We have 2 children, 4 grandchildren. Both of our children, son and daughter, are in the ministry. Our son is a global outreach pastor in somewhere in San Diego, California, and our daughter, you know, we made a deal with the United States. You know, they both married Americans. So our son is in California. So our daughter, she brought her husband to Warsaw, and he is now suffering with us. He's sitting over here, so he's suffering with the Polish nation here. And he's in the 5th generation in the ministry, so we gain a lot here. And in In all this, I would like to kind of get into the ministry. I was 26 years old when my own home church said, okay, we want you to be our senior minister. You know, the gentleman who was founder of this congregation was 80 at that time. So 26, 80. He spoke better Russian than Polish. I was more of kind of educated in the Western education. So it was big change, and the church gave me a lot of grace. And we started to grow. This was like 50 maybe people congregation. We grew to 200. After 13 years of my ministry, I felt, and maybe some of you who are pastors here, you from time to time you have this terrible feeling that you lead nowhere. That you lead people nowhere. I felt like, I cannot explain this in English, but I felt like the horse, you know, some old days on the farms. There was a special kind of mechanism, and the horse was kind of attached to this, and this horse for the whole day was working, going around. And something good happened there, but I felt exactly like this. So I told my elders, I'm giving up, or you give me some kind of sabbatical, and they gave. So I had the privilege to do extra studies in the States, and came back, and some unexpected things happened in our congregation, because we started to grow, I would say, like crazy. In the matter of 2 years, we became from 200, 400, and 600, 650, and became the largest Polish evangelical church. So this was my privilege to be a part of something which is growing. All the problems were the growth problems, not the dying problems. I'm sharing this with you because I would like for you to know that this is an important part of my experience, of my who I am, and why I am doing what I am doing. And after a couple of years, I thought I would be always with this congregation there in Warsaw, but somehow I came to the point where I just knew I cannot go any farther. So I asked my elders to, present my resignation. And a couple of years before, I received the office of supervisor of a denomination. So as I was still the pastor in Warsaw, I was doing this in my spare time, but then I became like a full-time denominational leader, and Poland became my parish, if I may say this way, trying to help. And the idea was that I would like to help the smaller congregations, the congregation where there is a pastor, and sometimes he doesn't like his elders, or maybe his elders don't like him, really don't like him. And there is battle, and they struggle financially in every order. So I thought maybe all these things which I learned and what was given to me, maybe I can share with them, and maybe this will be helpful. And I think I can say that it was helpful for some, in some cases. So our church, during the time when I was there, we started 10 other churches. And the last one was in Warsaw, like a daughter church started. Today, this church is the largest Polish evangelical church, and they started another church in Warsaw, so we have like a granddaughter church. Which is absolutely great, but at the same time, I learned that there is a lot of dying churches. That there is even more of the churches which are on this, how you say correctly, stagnation kind of mode. I mean, even if you are for 10 years, 400 members, it's still stagnation, it's no growth. So I became more like a, some people ask me, how do you feel? I say, I feel like I'm a church doctor now, and especially the one who goes in the ambulances, you know, so not doing any deep operations, but trying to save life of a church. So this is how I feel about myself. And you know, it was just a couple years ago, exactly I think 7 or 8 years ago, when God has given me on the plate, given me something which I never prayed for, I never desired even. And this was some American businessmen came to Poland, and there's lots of them who come to Poland. Thank God for America and their business people and pastors also. But on this plate, it was discipleship. And they started to ask strange questions. And you know, I think I have a right to say in Poland, I have a right to say that I'm one of the most successful pastors when it comes to numbers. There is no higher position I could have. We don't have popes so far, so I cannot be promoted any farther. So, but you know, this discipleship, and some people started to talk about this, and I know in my papers, when I led the church, I always had discipleship in my papers, but never had a heart for this. I had even part-time staff member for discipleship, but since, you know, when the senior pastor doesn't have a heart for something, nothing or not much in this area will happen. And they started to share this, and kind of making the story shorter, I would say since a couple of years, I said, okay, I'll give a try. I always thought this is against my nature. I'm more like a pulpit animal. But no, a small men's group, disciple. And I tell you, I tried, and I am doing this, and I couldn't think of a better thing happen in my life. Just sorry that it wasn't 20 years before. 20 years before, 30 years before, some navigators try, but maybe they navigate the wrong way or what, but I didn't like them. And so it was, I never received anything from them. But now, and this is why I am sharing this, because what happened to me with the discipleship is such important now for the church ministry. And I would like to now go more into this details. Not necessarily dying churches, but churches which are not growing at all. So many times I hear pastors coming and complaining, say, Andrew, help. I need to find at least one or two more elders. I just don't have them. It's like, what about having like a discipleship group with men, and in the year two, maybe three, you have your own leaders who think very much in tune with your thinking. And if you are with somebody for the year two, three in a small group where you share things which are not shallow, but which are deep from the bottom of the heart, so many, I tell you, there is such a bond, there is such a relationship between you that you will have elders, not only elders with a good Christian DNA, but you will have elders who may even like you. Friends. And so we talk about this, but let me tell you, I don't know how it is in your countries, but in Poland, pastors are the toughest when it comes to convince them to do discipleship. I was taught by this American, not taught, I was just reminded by this Americans, such a simple thing like, isn't this that Jesus is our master? And of course, we all pray, perhaps even today, that I could become more like you, Christ, in character. But the question was raised, should we become also more like him in the method of ministry? Should I maybe do something that if Jesus love the whole world, so definitely I want to follow him. Love whole world. If Jesus ministered to thousands, I mean, I'll be happy to minister to thousands. But Jesus also focused on 12, few. Is this a master model for the ministry, a ministry of the church? You know, he knew he has three and a half years, and he's done with his mission this way as he's doing here on earth. And he leaves behind him discipleship, and they will now be model for the church. If they fail, whole things fail. And I try now to see how this model of Jesus, which is serve as many as you can, love everybody, but focus on few. And who are these few? If I could show you, well, I should do this, but sorry, I kind of didn't think before. I could show you a picture of a six man I have in my right now in my group. Three of them kind of champions in their professional areas. Speakers, authors of the books. We talk and we help each other to bring the Christian DNA to our lives. I'm a facilitator of this, but I see how they develop. One of them said to me after a few weeks, said, you know what, Andrew? I am a Christian since 12 years, and for the first time in my life, I am doing what I always wanted to do, what I always believed in, but now I am doing. And you know what he meant? A quiet time in the morning. Verse or verses plus prayer. Why? Because discipleship, as we do this, is something which he knows on Thursday meeting, either I or somebody will ask, how was your time with God, your worship God in this week? Sometimes the answer is, I didn't even touch Bible this week. So, okay, we won't kill you, but next time we'll ask you again. And this, in this way, we kind of try to encourage each other to do what we were kind of created, called, saved to do. You know, I am the only pastor there. I'm the only kind of clergy there. All of them are having secular jobs. But you know, I really believe that if there is the right DNA, Christian, Christ DNA in all of us, so the church will have benefit if the DNA is in me, because I am a pastor, I am a kind of church animal, but also this company where another Andre is working. Oh, I have to tell you this. It was in the city of Krakow, 10,000 people. It was a secular conference for the business people where Nick Vujicic, if you are familiar, yeah, no legs, no arms, no, his kind of motto, very nice. And just before Nick Vujicic, this gentleman was asked to speak. Before him, there was some business people, great, and they said, you know, how try to encourage people how to do in business. And so. And then I sit and listen to this guy, and he said, and you know what, God has touched my life. I left my corporation, and he discovered that his father was a murderer and was sentenced 25 years. And now he and his father go together to prison every week. He's addicted to prison now to help there. You know, and with the people like this, when I meet with such leaders, I say, my goodness, if we can help this way, the churches will be stronger. I have my privilege is to have people from different congregations, even one from the Catholic renewal movement, and hope through this there will be influence into all these areas. I'm sharing with you because I would like to simply say that I strongly believe that the discipleship is this forgotten, missing link in our ministries. And if you have a notes which I prepared before, there is this picture of worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, evangelism, five areas of life, five goals, responsibilities. And this is a responsibility for individual Christians. We all are called to be worshipers. We all are called to be faithful members of a church. Discipleship, and then ministry or service, and then evangelism. And I draw this small picture which puts discipleship right in the middle, and in this way that, we all know that the health of a church and health of the body is to keep body in balance. If we are in balance, usually it's healthy. And I believe that nothing so well keeps churches in balance like discipleship. Because it addresses all this issue. It teaches us how we are going to worshipers of true God. And how we are going to be the faithful members of the congregation. And how do we serve and how do we minister to others. One of the gentlemen in my group, he's a specialist of storytelling. He teaches and writes the big, speeches for the known people, helps them to develop. And there was we all learn 60-second story. Tell you 60-second story. It's for the preacher. It's not. It's beyond the possibility in 60 seconds. But he taught us this, and he says, I'm thinking of starting one more church in Warsaw as a kind of finale for my life and ministry. And he says, I want to be a trainer. I'll help train all those people in the church so we can have a storytelling. We tell a story in such a way that people sit on the edge of their chairs eager to hear what you're going to say. I said my story and I see on his face. So we ask all of could you help us? And sometimes he twisted just one sentence, turned into the question, and then everything was like, I said, wow, if we could do this for our churches, if they would share the stories like this in whenever they work, whenever they play, this would be a different world. Usually, Polish story starts this way. I was born, raised Catholic. And then usually people would say, and it meant nothing to me. And after such a beginning, how can you testify to somebody? How can you try to convince somebody to believe in the Jesus you believe? So my kind of conviction is that to help churches really grow, get out of the unhealthy, is go into the discipleship seriously. Although, if you use the discipleship as a tool for growth, you cannot expect fruits tomorrow. It has to take a year, a whole season, or two or three. This is not a fast track. But if we are serious, then we go for this. Today, we all, our churches, and those who are in some kind of danger of dying, This is a fruit of a previous generation. 20 years ago, we were somehow brought up in this church. Somebody tried to do the spiritual formation, the Christian DNA in us. And today, this is a result. So if we change the DNA today, and the discipleship, which I, you know, the model of discipleship is called missional discipleship, with the missional is important, missional discipleship, life on life, where you cannot just watch a movie or separate somewhere on the, let's say, over internet, somehow react. This is not like verse on verse. You have a curriculum and you read this and okay, no. It's life on life. It's where we, as a man, my wife leads a women's groups, but when we, as a man, we sit together and we struggle. How to be the faithful follower of Christ as a husband, as a father, as a church member, as far as my worldview is concerned, the view of God. So I believe that if this is right, then there should not be even the churches who struggle. Because this is something with the especially with the leaders. We know that everything rises up or dies with the leadership. Sometimes I wonder how it is so that it's so difficult for pastors to be convinced that they need to spend part of their time with a few. I have most of my colleagues are pastors, and it's funny because they always answer the same way I did 20 years ago. If somebody came with the idea of discipleship, I said, okay, here's my associate, he will go with you on this conference, you teach him, and he will, and never, it never happened. And so my encouragement for those of you who are influential in the church is that we would find a way to really rethink discipleship as a cure, long-term, as a cure for our churches either stagnant or dying. As I mentioned in my notes, that there are dark and light sides of the discipleship. The dark side is, the bright side is, it doesn't cost. I mean, no money. But it costs time. And you all know that the time is the most precious commodity which we have, yes? When I talk and invite men to my group, I say, okay, here I come. I ask you 5 hours a week, commitment for the whole season. And I can let you guess what's the reaction. Say, Andrew, are you healthy, you know, with your mind? 5 hours. Yes, yeah, because you need to prepare, you need to come and spend about 2 hours together with others. So at least 5 hours every week. And I still remember the one who was taking a special like a urlop, jakieś urlop, vacation, no,
time off
from his work because they had two young children, girls, and his wife works on the doctorate, so he took this for 2 years, and he was coming there, and after 3 years, before this, and we always pray for each other's needs, and we ask, what's your need? He says, please pray for 2 more hours of, that I could sleep 2 more hours. But after 3 years, he said, you know what? I did this. I made it. And, you know, if this would not be my experience, I would never, never dare to share with you this. I would rather open some Bible verses and, you know, try. But this has been my experience over the years, and I'm just thankful to God that at this kind of final part of my life, I can have a part in this, and the joy of letting order, especially leaders. I mentioned to you that I have this thought which I still struggle how to, but I would like to start one more church. You know, if you're a denomination leader, I don't know how many of you are denomination leaders, but I tell you, I feel like I'm a homeless when it comes to the church. Exactly. Whenever I travel, I feel like I'm in the best hotel. You know, they welcome me, treat me. You know, my wife, when I come back, she says, "Okay, take the garbage, you know, off." And when I am in the hotel, they never tell me this. I say, "Yes, sir, please." You know, but this is how I feel, and I just feel like if I could make this one more team of the people who would be maybe next generation to younger than I am. So in the 7 years, I'll be 70, and I can go to Hawaii for the retirement, or I don't know, maybe not to Hawaii, but I can retire. But there could be leaders. And I'm not looking in for the seminary graduates. I look for this business. I talk with them and said, "You know what? I'm not having the wonderful plan for your life, but maybe God will tell you to leave this and become a pastor, or maybe not. Maybe you will just grow the business or whatever your area is, but how about we try to learn and start one more church in Warsaw?" And since I started with this, since we are such a strong Catholic, my desire is to start a church which will be Catholic friendly. I don't know what it means yet, but I mean how this would happen, but definitely I would like to for this to be. So the goal of the Christian church is a church to help members of this church to become like Christ. Like Christ in character, in goals, in the way we think, in the way we say things, like Christ. Maybe also like Christ in the method we minister. And the pathway to this is discipleship, which is nothing like taking people from unbelief to belief, and from belief to maturity, and to be equipped and to the leadership. A simple, something, and there are methods how we can do this, and the process which is used is taking truth and massaging truth in the way that we all not only know and memorize Bible verse, but we know how to use the Bible verse, what this is, how it can be part truth, not revealed only, but incarnated truth in us. And accountability, where we have a right. A few weeks ago, one of the members of our group said, "Yeah, but I don't talk to my wife for the last 4 months." We all look and say, "What?" He's a nice guy. He says, "For 4 months we didn't talk." And she's a professor of psychology. And he's a genius in communication. So there is accountability. And then we stand around and say, "Okay, can we help? Can we pray? Can we talk? Can we..." However, I'll let you know, they started already talking. And And then a missional project. Every week, something missional, something out there. Do or say, do or say. And the supplication prayer time, when we pray for each other. Simple, but such a good thing. And the last thing is, this was like a process, and the last thing is role model. Who is the role model for the Christians? I let you guess. Maybe Christ. Christ for Christians. Although, in Polish language, you know, Christian, in Polish language, is taken from the baptism word, not from Christ word. So many people think to be Christian in Poland means to be baptized, Christianized. This is how I personally, and I know there's more than, not only I, how we feel that this missing link of discipleship, which is a spiritual formation like Christ in the character but also in the method of working, especially in developing leaders, could take us from many problems in our local churches. And we would not have, like right now I have one church which is, we have to do a restart completely. We have a beautiful new building there, nice congregation, which is a past. And I can't find a person who could start lead this. If there would be a discipleship of this pastor, he would do, there would be a couple of leaders who could take a place and lead, but no. So this is, thank you for kind of listening, and if there are any questions you would like to ask, I am open for this. Any comments, please. But I encourage you with all my being, think of a discipleship spiritual formation as one of the key tools to revive the church, to give a new strength for the church long term, not for tomorrow, but the long term. It will pay. In this, I just wanted you to know that the Baptist Union in Poland, they kind of invited me, Wojtek here, they invited me to share part of this, and they entitled my session as a pastor converted to discipleship. I like this very much, because I'm converted, and as a new convert, I am still
on fire.
Yeah. So I understand this is the end. The next time, God knows where we meet or not, but Christ will ask. I hope he will never ask me, Andrew, why in the world you thought that my method of building a church is weaker than yours? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we just come to you with praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for Christ Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who came. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you, Father, that we have everything. We are equipped with everything which is needed. That we would be your worshipers. That we would be a good part of your family. That we would be a servant. That we would be your witness. And Father, let it be that we will be also those who understand discipleship and love it and pass it on to others. Father, just bless our churches, and especially those, maybe the little ones, or also the big ones which struggle, especially the pastors, those who lead, that they would understand that discipleship long term will bring much more fruit than any other method. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.